Acts chapter 12. You know, this time of COVID, there's been fear. You know, around the world, people have been scared and still are. Many of us are tired of COVID lockdowns and curfews. And here in America, everything's freeing up except for a few places. But in the, around the world, as we just heard the missionary letters talking about, many countries are still in lockdowns. Suriname has been that way. We've had a lot of lockdowns there. Fear of death. Fear of death. And, you know, I have a question tonight I'd like to speak on, the idea of how deep is your faith? How deep is your faith? When things like this happen, when things come along, and, you know, of course, you understand that God allowed COVID to be, however you want to put it, spread around the world. God allowed it. And there, you know, he knows why he allowed it to happen, as many things do happen, which are things that we would not like, do not like, trials and testing. And God allows things to happen that test us. And the question is, in that test, is how deep is your faith? Or another way of asking the question is, how strong is your trust in the will of the Lord? How strong is your trust in the will of the Lord? So let's pray, and then we'll go forward. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for bringing all of us together this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the songs that we sang. Thank you, Lord, for the missionary letters. And Lord, thank you for, Lord, thy love and thy grace and thy mercy. Lord, thank you for thy word. We pray that the Holy Spirit would take away the blindness that Satan attempts to bind our understanding. We pray, Lord, that thou would cut the chains of sin that may hold some here. And we pray, open our hearts and teach us through thy word. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, and we'll be going down to somewhere around verse 17 or so. Acts chapter 12, verse 1 through 17, of course, there's a story about how Peter was in jail and how Peter was freed from jail. The Lord sent his angel and freed him. And when we look at this, I think we'll see that the Christians were praying, Peter was praying. It was a time of faith, testing their faith. And did they believe in their prayers? Did they believe their prayers would be answered? So let's look forward here now in this. Verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1 says, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with the sword, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. So if you read the first chapters of Acts, you know that the Christians were being persecuted. The government was persecuting the Christians. The Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, were persecuting the Christians. Of course, we know about Saul was busily pursuing the Christians and persecuting them. And so it was a time of persecution. And we see here in verse 1 that Herod stretched forth his hands. He caught James, the brother of John, and he had him killed with a sword. And when he saw, it says in verse 9, that he saw it pleased the Jews. In other words, the Pharisees, the leaders of the Jews, were happy, just of course as they've been happy to kill the Lord Jesus. When Herod saw that they were happy about that, it pleased them, then he caught Peter also. But it was the time of the Passover, it was the time of Easter, and so it says here that he put him in prison to hold him. Something like what the Pharisees did not want to make a big big problem in the time of the Passover when they crucified the Lord Jesus. They were concerned about it being a problem. And so Herod says, oh, I won't kill him during the Passover. I'll put him in jail and keep him until after the Passover. So we see Peter in jail. And verse 5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And so Peter's in prison. The church, the Christians are praying for him. It doesn't say Peter was praying, but I think he probably was. Right? When we're in trial, when we're in tribulation, we usually pray. Many times when we're not in trial or tribulation, when everything's going great, we sometimes forget to pray. But I'm sure Peter was praying. So Peter's praying, the church is praying, but what did they expect? Did they expect their prayers to be answered? You know, they had prayed for James, and James died. They were praying, most likely they were praying for many other of the Christians. Persecution was heavy. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself, and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to him them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And so Peter's in jail. He was praying. The Christians were praying. And God sends the deliverer. The angel comes. The Passover is over. You know, the Passover is done. And it says that same night, tomorrow, when the sun comes up, is execution. Is Peter still praying? Does he expect to be released? Well, what do we see? It says, Peter was sitting between two soldiers, bound with two chains, keeping before the door, kept the prison, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, saying, and raised him up, saying, rise up quickly. So the angel comes in the room, you know, and it says the light shined in the prison. Now, if you or I are sleeping in the middle of the night, nice and dark, and somebody comes in and flips on the light, what do? We usually wake up, you know, cover our face or something. Hey, turn off that light, you know, what's going on, right? It says here, the light shines in the prison, and the next thing, the angel smote Peter on the side. Now, Peter's laying down, it seems. I don't think he reached down and hit him with his fist. He probably kicked him in the side. Hey, wake up. Peter wasn't expecting. He wasn't praying. He was sound asleep. The angel had shined the light. The angel had to hit him to wake him up. He reached down, took him by the hand, raised him up, said, hey, let's go. His chains fell off. He was most likely chained by one hand to one soldier and by the other to another soldier. Verse 8 says, and the angel said unto him, gird thyself, bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. Peter wasn't dressed to go. He was in his pajamas, if you want to say it that way. You know, he had taken off his outer clothing. He wasn't ready to go. So the angel says, hey, put your clothes on. Put your shoes on. Let's go. And verse 9 says, and he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So Peter thinks he's dreaming. He wasn't expecting God to answer their prayers. And the angel, verse 10, the angel takes him through the prison. The doors open by themselves. They get outside. It says the angel departs, and Peter looks around and says, hey, it's true. It's not a dream. I'm free. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. So, you know, Peter, he's outside. He realizes, hey, I'm free. He says, hey, what should I do? And he knows. He knows the Christians have been praying for him. You know? He says, hey, I know where the Christians are. I know where they're praying for me. They're going to be at that house. and he goes there. So he's in jail. He knew they were praying for him. He's released by the angel. God answers those prayers. He goes to the house where they are praying. And verse 13 says, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened up the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. And so Peter goes to the door, and they had left this young lady there at the door. Maybe they expected more Christians to come during the night to come pray at their prayer meeting. And so she's there at the door, and he knocks, and, you know, and who is it? And he says, it's me, it's Peter. And she recognizes his voice, and she is overjoyed. She doesn't open the door and let him in, poor guy, left outside, you know. She runs inside and says, excuse me. Peter's outside. And the response of the mature Christians who are praying for his release is, you're crazy. You're crazy. It cannot be. You know? And she says, no. He's outside. He knocked. He spoke to me. I know his voice. And the next response is, well, it's his angel. In other words, the Passover is over. Herod didn't wait until the morning to have him killed. He's already killed him in jail. And it's now Peter's angel, his spirit, coming by to say goodbye. Does that sound strange? Now, in Suriname, that's not strange. Okay? The animistic people believe that when a person dies, the spirit waits around. The spirit doesn't go to hell or to heaven. The spirit waits around, lives in the trees or lives somewhere, waits around, and as they go through the different ceremonies after the death, that spirit's going to come through town and say goodbye. Okay? Through the village. And so that would not be strange to the people in Suriname. That would be expected. You know, just as a side thought, you think about the Jews and the Lord Jesus and the apostles cast out many demons. They had a problem with demons. They had a problem with superstition. And so here these Christians are praying, and yet they think it's the Spirit coming by to say goodbye. And it says in verse 17 that Peter continues to knock. Peter continued knocking. When they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And we don't know exactly what that means, but I wonder, you know, when the Lord Jesus came to the disciples up in the upper room and the doors and windows were all closed and he went in there, they were afraid. They thought it was a spirit. And he had to show them his hands. He had to say, hey, give me something to eat. You know, hold me. I'm flesh and blood. I'm not a spirit. So maybe that's what Peter did. They were astonished. But when, in verse 17, when they realized it was him, it's true, what'd they do? It says, but he beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace. What happened? About the time they realized it was Peter, it was true, God had answered the prayers. About the time they were about ready to shout hallelujah and wake up the neighbors and maybe that roving band of soldiers, you know, they start getting ready to start shouting and Peter's like, shh, please be quiet. I don't want them to come get me again, you know. Don't wake up the neighbors. And so Peter explains and says, and he explained to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went unto another place. So Peter says, listen, this is how God delivered me. Go tell the apostles and the leadership so that they will believe also that I've been released. You've seen me. And then he went into hiding. He went somewhere else to hide because in the morning, when the soldiers wake up, there's going to be a search. And he doesn't want to be anywhere near where they might come looking for him. So did Peter believe that God was going to answer the prayer? Did the Christians believe? Look like it. You know? So what was their faith? They had enough faith to pray. But, you know, sometimes God answers our prayers with a yes. Sometimes he answers with a no, you know, or a gradual type of thing, you know. And yet we need to believe, we need to have trust, we need to be strong in our trust in the will of the Lord, because that's the thing. It's not what I want. You know, you look at the, in Matthew chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer. And what is the beginning of that prayer? It is about the will of God. You know? The prayer is first, may God's will be done. And then we come to where we pray about food or other things. But the beginning of the prayer is, God's will be done. So sometimes we need to, we are weak in our trust in the will of God. You think there in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, when it's a story about Joseph, you know, when Jacob had died, and the brothers came to Joseph, and they started to make some excuses, you know, started to say some things, I think they were lying, you know, about how Joseph shouldn't punish them for what they did to him. They were scared. Dad's dead, and now Joseph's going to lower the boom. You know, Joseph's now going to really punish us for what we did to him. And Joseph's response is, ye thought evil, but God meant it unto good. I mean, think about Joseph. Joseph had the dreams. And Joseph said, you know, I know God has showed me that I'm going to be the leader of my family. I'm going to be the boss. And then he's becomes a slave. And then he's thrown in prison. And Joseph could have said, what am I doing believing, trusting in God? Look where I am. I'm a slave. God made promises to me and he hasn't kept them. You know, this isn't worth it. Let me just do. When Potiphar's wife said, hey, you know, I like you. Joseph could have said, hey, this is a good thing. This is good. This is my ticket out. You know, this is going to be good. I can use this to my advantage. No. He trusted in God and went to prison. And he's in prison, you know. And he trusted in God and waited and prayed and waited. And God did what he said he would do. So Joseph says, hey, ye thought it for evil, God meant it unto good. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 15, if we look at that, which we're not turning there, but, you know, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were some of the king's best servants. Of course, they were Jews. They were outsiders. But they had served the king faithfully. They were faithful servants of the king. And the king, you know, gets this idea about this idol and that everybody should come and bow to the idol. And I don't know. The Bible doesn't say it. But you know what? When Daniel refused to pray to the king and was only going to pray toward Jerusalem, and those men were watching, they laid the trap, and then they went to watch and see if they'd catch him. They knew they would. They knew what Daniel's faith was. And so I wouldn't be surprised if some of those same type of men were watching to see. I mean, thousands of people are there bowing toward that idol, and they see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out in that huge crowd. They see them, probably because they were watching. They knew they'd catch them. And so they go catch them, bring them to the king. These three, your three best servants, look, they didn't bow. And the king's like, oh, man, you know, these are my best servants. I don't want them to die. So what does he do? Hey, guys, you know, we'll give you a second chance. Go back out there, bow to the idol, and we'll overlook that you didn't show respect the first time. You know, do what you're supposed to do. And they answer with all respect, because if you don't, you're going to go in the fire. And they answer with all respect, King, you can give us a second chance, but we're not going to do it. We trust only and pray only to the one true God. Second chance isn't going to help. And of course, he got real upset. You know, make the fire hotter. And they told him, King, if God wants to, he can deliver us. We will not burn. But if God decides that we are to burn and die, we're still going to worship him. To God be the glory. And God did deliver them. God didn't have to, but he did. Daniel chapter 6, we're back to Daniel. And once again, you know, Daniel's in trouble. Why? Because he will not worship other gods. And so now he's going to the lion's den. And the king now knows, and the king is, you know, the king knows what God can do. And the king says, oh, Daniel, you know, God will deliver you in the lion's den. And then the king can't go to sleep all night long because he's worried about it. And the morning he runs out there as early as possible, runs out there, Daniel, did your God deliver you? And Daniel replies back in all respect, O king, live forever, I have been delivered. In Job chapter 13, Job says, though he slay me, I will trust him. That was a great trial in Job's life. Absolutely. And yet Job's response was, even if God makes me die, yet I will still trust him. Is our faith, our trust in the will of God, strong? Is our faith deep? If you turn to Hebrews chapter 11, you know, of course you know Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith chapter. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read how God worked in you know, Abraham and Sarah in their lives, and how God worked in Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and the children of Israel. We read how God blessed and helped and did miracles for all these people. And then we come down to verse 36. And verse 36 says, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. So God helped all these others, and yet there were these others here in verse 36, 37, 38, that God said, for his glory, he wasn't going to answer their prayers as far as, you know, saving their lives, keeping them from trials, keeping them from pain and suffering. But God said, no, these ones are going to go through trials. These ones are going to die. These ones are going to be in be persecuted and suffer for God's glory. And God gave them the strength to follow him even in trials and suffering. You know, we saw a couple of years ago, before COVID became the big news, it was ISIS. And we saw pictures of people who, it was said they were Christians over there, who were led out on the beach, and the knife was put to their throat, and they were told, recant or die. And they died. That's faith. I don't know their theology. I don't know how exactly they're, you know, I can't say. And yet their faith was strong, and they died for it. How deep is our faith? How strong is our trust in the will of God? Turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. You know, persecution's coming to America. It's already here a little bit, has been a little bit, but it's coming. Are we willing to stand? We can say so. Christians have been standing around the world till today. To this day, Christians are killed around the world, are persecuted, imprisoned, as we have seen and maybe not seen. They're standing. Persecution's coming. The Apostle Paul wrote the Christians and said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hopeth make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Of course, the Apostle Paul, he suffered plenty of tribulation and pain and suffering for God. And he says, hey, let us remember that we glory in tribulations. Doesn't mean we like it necessarily, you know? But we glory in it, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience, experience hope, and we know that our hope in God is sure. We have that hope. But before that, persecution may be in our lives. Tribulation, persecution, it's coming. Are we trusting the Lord? Are we willing to stand? Of course, we know in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, very familiar verse, but you know when you think about it, Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We can read it. We can memorize it. But do we believe it? You know? Do we believe that all things, whether in our mind, good or bad, all things work together for good to them that love God? To call it according to his purpose. Yes? You know? It's his purpose. It's his will. Are we willing to stand for him? How deep is our faith? How strong is our trust in the will of God? In Suriname, we pray for the Christians of America. The Christians of America will stand. We need revival. We do. Revival begins with, you know, each person, each Christian. Are we willing to stand? Are we willing to be lights shining in the darkness? And the darkness has gotten worse, much stronger, much deeper, because Christians have not been standing. We don't like persecution. We don't want to be persecuted. We don't want to stand out, right? When we stand out, we will get persecuted. The world will. The Lord Jesus said, the light came into the world, and the world didn't like it. And it's still true. We are to be light shining in the world, in our Jerusalem, in our country. But when the light stands and shines, there will be those who will try to put it out. And that means you're going to get hurt. Are you willing to stand for him and be a light? We need to be. We need to be. That's why we're here. How strong is your faith in the will of God? How deep is your faith?